chapter number 16. I want to tell you again, I've been thinking about this since Thursday or whatnot. I sure appreciate you, church, for this week and all the efforts you've put in. Being at Revival, appreciate the prayers. Anybody you invited, we appreciate that so much. The visitors that came, we're thankful for them. I just wanted to thank you so much for how people come together and just helped out with Miss Dolores Taylor's family. When she lost her sister, she passed on to go be with the Lord. Sure appreciate all the effort that you did, and I'm thankful for that. Don't want that to go by the wayside. People that helped in the kitchen, that went and visited, that made phone calls, that brought food, all that. I was telling Nicole, I'm so proud that God has put me here at Forest Hill Baptist Church. We truly have a church family. Sitting in a place that we just gather, we're family, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm proud to be your pastor today. I love each and every one of you. Acts chapter number 16, I won't ask you to stand. I'm going to do some leather wrinkly leading. But God has rose up a question in my heart that was brought to these scriptures. And the question was, jailer, in Philippi, he comes to see Paul and Silas to be in jail. A lot of stuff went on, and we'll back up in just a minute. But I mentioned in this question he asked, and when everything just went wrong, you know, he probably thought he had a good life. He was over jail. Probably made pretty good living. I don't know. But had things going his way, he was probably a good guy. He obeyed what the magistrates and stuff told him. So. But he asked the question when things started happening in his life. And he comes and he said, what must I do to be saved? It's probably the most foolish question in your Bible. You wanted to know how to be saved. And God has just rose up in my heart this week about that question. What must I do to be saved? And I'm going to tell you, church, it's very easy. It's not hard. There's no 12 cents or nothing like that. Paul is not a scale. What to do? But you know, today it seems like as many people gather in church, they say, just do better. Just pay your tithes. Just change from what you're doing. Just treat others right. Just be nice to people. That's how you get this feeling of what God is. And there's so many times that people are led the wrong way where they're not hearing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You have to come to Jesus if you're going to be saved. People say, preacher, where do we need to be saved from? We need to be saved from your sins, right?
Right.
You need to be saved not only from your sins to judge, but it's also the consequences of sin, but the power of sin over your life. That's what you get saved from. You see, you're saved from the sin itself and all that's created, but you're also saved from death and destruction is what you're saved from. There's a day coming where you're going to meet God. Everybody's going to meet God. Nobody's getting out of this thing without meeting God.
Right.
And I hope you can be here this morning and you say, you know what, I've met God. I can tell you when I met Him, where I met Him, how I met Him, the day I trusted His name. I hope everyone here can say it. But I don't know if that's between you and God. I couldn't read your mind. I couldn't read your heart. But I know one thing, God wants us to talk about salvation today.
Amen.
And it might be somebody here that's lost. It might be somebody in your family that's lost. It might be somebody that you come in contact with this week that's lost and they need to know how to be saved. So maybe God prepared this message for us today. What's the greatest need for every person? Salvation. It's the greatest thing that's in need of. It ain't your bills being paid. It ain't all that other stuff. It's salvation. And here we're going to talk about it today. Let's start reading. I want to pick up in how they got to the jail, of how it all started. So let's pick up reading in verse number 16. And of course, this was after Paul and Silas had done witness to Lydia, a businesswoman. And she had heard the message. She believed the message. And she got saved and brought her to her house. And you might say, well, everything's just going good for Paul and Silas. You know, they got to be feeling good. God done stirred a heart, done moved. Somebody done got saved. The household done got right. Things are going good. But don't ever fall for them. Everything's going good for the devil. Amen. Let's read your Bible. Verse 16, it came to pass that they went to prayer. A certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us. We brought her master much gain by soothsaying. The same father called us to cry, saying, he being a servant of the Most High God, which shows to us the way of salvation. And then in many days, Paul being free turned and said to the spirit, the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out that same hour. And let's look at this man, this guy right there, about how Paul had to turn around. The Bible says that he was grieved, and you might say, well, Christian, what was he grieved about? I mean, the lady that was possessed with a demon, she was telling the truth, right? She spoke the truth. She said, he's been on the earth, but my God, show us the way to salvation. She was giving a free advertisement. So why would Paul turn around and rebuke her like that? She was happening. And let me tell you something today. You better be ready to say it. Let's say it again, Why did he need to stand against her? Because if he would have accepted what she was saying and said, yeah, it's true. We know she's got a demon, but how did she help her? She went in the law. She's got a thing for God is the truth. She's got a God is the way. She's got a God. Paul did know that evil and good is not evil. And if he would have accepted that right there, he would have been able to tell. But it's not fair to that demon when he's talking about Jesus. Paul said that don't know it was a divine message. He knew that. He said, we never heard you talking about this. Paul said it's crazy, so she kept on doing it, she kept on saying it. But I'm telling you, the reason I believe it is crazy is different. When she knew it wasn't right for somebody to be possessed with the devil, trying to do the Lord's work. You know what would better be? Good thing what you just said it would be. James said, anybody that is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. You can't be a part of the devil's friend and be a part of God's crowd at the same time. It's not going to work. There's always been there, I believe there was conviction there on Paul's heart. He knew that something wasn't right. He said, this woman's not doing it the right way. She's in there. It's almost like I can tell she's mocking us or she knows it. What's she doing? But he said, I know it's wrong because she's got a demon inside of her. And Paul knew the power of God. He turned around and he said, come out from among her. And said, I don't see it. There's power when you say about Jesus. The Bible says they can come out of it. All that money she'd been making for her bosses, right? And let me tell you something, her bosses did not care about her. They cared about the money that she could make. That's exactly why you see today and all the problems in the world, the demons that's going out there in the world. Why do you think your fortune plays that she'll go? They don't care about people, they just want the money. Why do you think prostitution still goes off? They don't care about the women, they want the money. But the same way the bar still on, the casino still on, the gambling and stuff. They want you to put in all you got and experience what you do with each other. They want what you can offer, and when you can't offer the world no more, it doesn't mean that they'll give away. That's exactly what they want. The devil wants everything that you've got. The question also was very important of all testimony. You know what kind of testimony you're at, man? If you're out there preaching the gospel, trying to get people saved, you got a devil walking right beside you. It's not the thing. People will pick up on that stuff. The lost wants us to the world. They're watching us. They're listening to us. And they want to know how we're going to react towards the same. Look what Paul said. Paul said, we're going to stop to it like that. Paul said, you can't be God enough. You know you're talking about God. You know that you know the truth of what God can do. But he said, I'll tell you, if you want to testify for God, we're going to get cleaned up here.
Amen.
He said, that's exactly what happened. That's the matter. Then the Bible says in verse 19, when the master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the far marketplace and to the rulers. Brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. They weren't really trouble the city. You know what they were doing? They were afraid of the gospel made it live. It says, these customs which are not lawful for us to receive, make us to observe being wrong. These people, they were such a prejudice. They hated Jews. You know, a lot of times you'll talk to people, and of course, I've had a lot of black friends that I work with, and a lot of times you'll hear them and say how people are so prejudiced. Let me tell you something. Nobody that you'll ever find in this world will ever do the way Jesus would do. You go all the way back to your mind and look. Nobody. Nobody was ever treated the way that Jesus treated. And I'm prepared to preach with everybody. I think you are to preach about this. The Bible says we must love everyone. Well, that means this is another one. Stop and cry. But you have no love, then how are you going to be right people? Love people. That doesn't mean you have to take everybody to Biden. But we ought to love them and pray for them. Paul showed love. He's going to the city right here. He's telling people about the gospel. He wanted people to be saved. He wanted their lives to be saved. And those masters did not like him. years ago, they had so much of a problem with the making time. They were mad that they converted their money.
Right.
They no longer making money. She could sell the fortunes. And it made them mad. You want to see how people react like that? Just start taking from them and see how they act. They weren't trying to help her. They just wanted the money. That's all they cared about. The money was God. Look what it said. Verse 22, the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates went off to foes and commanded to beat them. Now, what were the cause of beating them? Those, they were preaching God. They had killed a woman. The people got mad about it. There was no cause to beat them. And it said, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison and charged them with jailer to keep them safe. Who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Jailer, who is God, right? The Bible says, and I believe he might have been a hard man. I don't know. He was just trying to do the very best he could. And then they went to both, pulled their clothes off of them. The Bible says that they beat him, not contradicted him. They didn't smack him. They didn't give him a wonderful link or a battle or nothing like that. The Bible says they were many stripes only. And they didn't get that wrong. All they did was preach the gospel and then they devilized somebody. And they didn't like it. They did not like what they were doing. They had many stripes laid upon them, but I'm telling you, these men didn't have no quit in them. They didn't have no quit. You know these many stripes could have felt good for the birth of the flesh and torn from the backside. And this Bible says not only did they beat them, they threw them into the prison and they didn't throw them apart. And on Sunday, his head was like a dungeon. It was the southern part inside. It looked like a pit where there would be many doors, many ways that you had to go through to try to escape. They did the worst criminal business. They treated the Christians the worst possible way. All they could do was Christians, see? And they treated them the same way as murderers and then rapists and people like that. That's the way they treat them. They threw them into the pit. And they went down there. The Bible says they shackled their feet, right? For a beast to care of us, not only did they shackle their feet. Let me tell you this, just to set the story. When they shackled their feet, they were going to walk in between them, and they put these chains and holes in them, you can see their feet, and it made their legs spread out, and they could not move them. They could not move their legs. You know what that's getting comfortable? You know, y'all sometimes you sit a certain way all the way, you might be cramped or something like that, that's getting comfortable. Not only did they have shackles on their feet, I believe, just for history, that they also had shackles on their head, one on the seat. Right the head on their feet, on their head, and one on their neck. They couldn't move. The Bible tells us they gave them a bad beat. They were sitting on the concrete, they were beaten, they were bruised. They were hurting. Let me tell you something. How much they love the Lord. Let's read the Bible. It says at midnight, Paul stopped praying, saying praise unto God, and the prisoners heard. At midnight, the darkest time, in their life, they did not quit. They could have said, Lord, all we're doing is trying to win love for you. How are we getting beat for this? What are the stripes of it? What's the pain? What's the difficulty? Why is it so hard? We're just trying to live our life for you. And the very best we get so people get their life saved. We want to see people get saved, and this is how we get treated. They could have said it to us. I don't know what's working anymore. It's hard. They were mistreated, they were beaten, they were bruised. I bet they got thrown into the prison. They were sitting on concrete, their muscles, their legs couldn't move. And what did they do when the dark time, difficult time in their life comes? They started saying praise to God. I believe they knew in their heart that He was worth it, that He's worth it. They said, I don't know what's going to happen to us, but we're going to keep on keeping on for God. And the Bible says right here that at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and saying, praise unto God, and the prisoners heard. Let me tell you something. What you do doesn't have an effect on the next. The Bible says they started singing, started praying. Not only that, the Bible says they prayed, then they started singing praises, and the prisoners heard them. You see, just because they're in jail, the gospel is not going to put me in breach. They go there, they might say, you know what, we got a doctor with us. That's why you need to have something in your heart this morning. When you come across somebody, you need a little verse of encouragement, a little word, just something that you can help them keep going. You are studying your Bible so you got something in your heart to give them and help them to keep going on. But you might not always have a Bible with you. Study the Word that Paul told Timothy. Don't read the Word, study the Word. Study! And it's easy to do it. That's the phrase. The phrase. Start singing. Everybody got the Word. And then look at this, isn't it? You know how sometimes we just, maybe we meet Daniel, maybe we just say like, well, when God going to help us? What do God do? I'm telling you, God hears the cries of people. Bible says, and suddenly, here he is, verse 26 there, with a great earthquake. This is not the first time an earthquake has come across here. Bible says, it does not like they were made when God comes on the scene, but God comes on the scene. He said, I just heard my feet cry, 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 I just heard my feet cry. He had earthquakes that made him ashamed. James, he knew what the job was. He thought these people were dead. They're all responsible. And the normal thing back then to do was, if a prisoner escaped, was to use the yourself as an overplayed victim to save your own life. Right? They say, if you're not going to escape, I'm going to take care of this problem. I'll put my life on the line if I'm going to escape. But this earthquake hit. And this earthquake was so great, you think that it happened in an earthquake. But the earthquake that God did is dead and their chains were broken.
Amen.
You get what I'm saying? They're holding me and got you bound down, binded up. The Lord can send an earthquake to break your chains, you see. And that sin, it keeps you bound down from an area. It just makes you depressed. It has such a way to mess with your mind. Sin will never leave you happy. Sin is pleasure in sin for a minute, but never joy in sin. Joy will come through Jesus Christ. There's pleasure in it, right? In sin. He told them there, he said, suddenly, our Lord said, this earthquake, suddenly that arose. Chains broke off. Things started happening. And then the Bible says right there, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose, and the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners fled. I like that part of the Bible where it says that when he awoke, ain't something out. I'm going to tell you something. When you live your life, when you're lost, when you live your life, I'm going to see right there, God has a way of getting your peace the way you are. That's exactly what he did. Woke up! He said, well, thank God, the doors are open, all the prisons, what's going on here? And if it's, and I don't know how long that's going to be, but y'all tell me something, if you're down here at Morgan County Courthouse, if they open the doors up, the same as God's people, God's not going to go in there, he's never going to go back. Whatever they have, they have to pay their dollars. Freedom is what they say. But Paul, he said, do thyself no more. What do we say up there? Paul cried with a loud voice saying, do thyself no more, for we are all here. A miracle. Miracles right there. He's in an earthquake. He broke the chains. And nobody left. Miracles just happened. What's going on? And you know what Paul said right there? Paul said, do thyself no more. We're all here. God was moving in that place that Paul recognized. See, Paul could have said, you know what? This guy's going to beat us, going to shatter us, the Bible says they thrust him before us. He flows down there in a pit. I mean, I'm not going to be no man out there. I said, let's get this out of here. Look how sure he did. Look what he's done. They're paying for a lot. That's good for us. Don't be right to do that. You know, that's part of the thing of what most people would be, and I'm not going to say y'all would do that. I hope I can be like Paul and say, do yourself no more. Paul had a forgiving spirit when he was treated. He was treated with such malice right there, such disrespect. But Paul said, don't do yourself no more. See, Paul knew the whole meaning of the message was to get people saved, and he knew his children was lost and needed to be saved. Paul said, don't do yourself no more, we're all here. Then he called for a light. I like that too. He was a dark, big place. He called for a light. He wanted to see Paul of God face to face. He wanted to see what he was at. The Bible says that he sprang in. He jumped down into that pit with him. He said, something's going on right here. And nothing's out there. He, I believe in my heart, he's just about to have his job. He's never got any more trouble. He wasn't worried about shutting his door no more. He was not shacking up by nothing. He said, I'm not here to work God. He wanted a light, and he sprang in. He said, I got to get in there and see what's going on. And he stood right there and fell down on Paul's thighs. Conviction hit his heart. Conviction hit him. And you know something right there, we say that humility always comes before conviction does. It always precedes. You start learning your condition, where you're headed, what you deserve, and then you start learning there's got to be something else. I want a different life. I mean, I've got to find a way to get to heaven. So let's get to the question now. He said, brought them out, and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He brought them out from where they were at. Didn't care what anybody else thought. He said, I've got to be saved. I'm struggling with this. I'm hurt with it. It's keeping me up. I can't sleep. I can't focus on what I'm doing. Something's got to change in my life. He brought him out and said, sir, what's that thing to be saying? Notice that how he had disrespected them before being in the prison. Next thing you know, he gives them a word of prayer, a word of respect. No, he was served.
Right.
I said, he was called third while he beat them.
Right.
He said, sir, what's that thing to be saying? I'm glad that I'm here. That it wasn't nothing that he had to do because it was already done by Christ on the cross. And that's exactly what Paul and Silas said right there. He said, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord to all that were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed his stripes and was baptized, he and all did straightway. When he had brought them into his house, he set before them and rejoiced, believing in God for all his house. Notice how God made a change in the man's life. He went from beating him to feeding him, taking care of him, the compassion that he showed. Not only compassion, but what about community that he showed? He said, I want to wash your stripes. He said, the thing that I've done, I'm trying to make right. He said, I hate you, now I love you. What Christ does when it comes to you.
Amen.
He said, not only am I going to take care of you, wash you up, and he said, I want you to come into my house. And he said, I'm going to feed you. And I want you to preach the gospel to my family right here. And notice what it said right there. It said, and the faith that is our servant, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in my house. Let me tell you something this morning. Just because the family got saved did not mean that his family was automatically being saved. They had to believe on Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. Believing on Jesus is a whole lot different than just believing Jesus. Believing on Jesus is grasping the whole revelation of his nature and his power and believing on Jesus. It was more than just, well, that's Jesus, he's right. Believe on Jesus and thou shalt be saved in my house. They knew when you get saved, say, God, you're going to go home and you're going to straighten the hell out. He'll straighten it up. He'll keep the family in church. He'll lead the family in the devotion. He'll lead the family in the prayer and intercession. He's going to do the right thing. We've got to get this dad saved. And if he gets saved, I believe Paul is not too. I believe we're the same, Lord.
Amen.
I believe that will help. Now, going back to the questions. What must I do to be saved? Well, if you were right this down, the faithful responded. When God draws, you got to come. God didn't draw by the circle. He said, I've got to get this son of one's attention. You got to get attention. By the next thing you know, not only has got to be responding, you've got to be repenting. For him to ever be baptized, he had to hear God's message and repent his sins. He had to repent of his sins. The Bible says, Jesus comes from the Bible. He says, repent or you shall all likewise perish. Which means if you don't repent, you'll die in your sins. It's not a thing. There must be a repent. Not only a repenting, the Bible says there must be a receiving. He said, you're going to have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you have to receive what the Lord Jesus has offered. He's giving you a free pardon. He's giving you a home in heaven. He's giving you a way out of your sinful life. He will save your soul. You're going to have to receive. You have to receive. Can't get saved from a wife. Can't get saved from a kid. For them, I can't get saved from you. It's what you have to do, Jesus. I can pray for you. I can pray with you. We can do whatever we need to do. But you have to pray. You have to respond to God's message. You have to repent of your sins, and you have to receive the Lord Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. It's hard to if you don't let go of the world. And that's exactly what this picture tells us right there. Everything was going good in Paul's life. Somebody was getting saved. He didn't have to say everything was going good for him. And the demon was resentful and come on to that. The devil knows, and that's what he was doing. Paul and Silas was going down there to the devil's territory where everything was going on. All that fortune's down, all that evil money is being made. And Paul and Silas was praying the gospel with them, and they did not like that. The devil was not liking God's work was being done. And he's coming up, and he's coming out. But I'm going to tell you something. He's no match for God. He's no match for God. All of that. Paul said, we're going to believe on Jesus. We're not going to jail, but we're going to preach. Bless God, we're going to preach to the ones in jail. Somebody's got to hear about this message right here. And they did. They prayed, and Peter heard them testify.
Amen.
By praying God. Don't ever think, well, I'm up here by myself. Nobody cares. Nobody wants to know. You'd be surprised who's listening at your testimony.
That's right. You
know, my touch.
Yes.
You never know. And it might be you get to heaven before you realize all the lies and tests in your life. Might be, I don't know, God can show you now, or he might not, I don't know what he would do. Paul and Silas, what they did, they had to tell them for more about the apostle to be saved. And you might say, I get this, I understand that he had to be saved, I understand that he had to be conviction, I understand that all this was going on. I pray for others. I know people that's lost. They're struggling through their prayers. They don't feel like anything's changing. I'm telling you, if you're going to be saved, you've got to let go of the world. You cannot hold on to the world. You've got to hold on to it. And you'll have it. Let me give you an illustration. I'm done. It's kind of like when you're out in the waters, in deep waters, and you're drowning. Right, you're drowning. Tired, can't swim anymore. But I'm swimming out to you. Right as I approach you, you know and you believe that I've got strength to bring you in. You see me going out there full force. I'm coming. I'm coming to look. She's going to drown. She looks at me as I'm coming and you say, I believe you've got the strength. I believe you've got the will. No good. When I get to you, it's up to you. To give yourself to me, right? Because if you fight me on it, I can't save you.
Right.
I can't save you, Father. But if you let go of everything inside of you and let me take control and wrap my arms around you and start going to safety, you know everything's going to be okay. That's exactly the way Jesus says today. He cannot save you if you're fighting him. I love that song you said to sing, and I walk the water. She also sang that little part. Didn't I run to your rescue? I was right there with trouble finding me. God, right there.
Amen.
And where trouble finds you, he's right there. You might be in trouble water this morning. All you got to do is reach out. You see, Peter was saved. Remember that? When he was out there with us, Jesus comes to him and said, Spirit, he said, Lord, it's me now. Be it me, it's not to you. And the Lord said, come. And for what was it, 2 or 3 steps, Peter walked on water until he took his eyes off Jesus and he started to sink. What happened to him? When he focused his eyes back on Jesus, he realized there was a hand with him. Isaiah said, the Lord's hand is not shortened, and I'm
right.
The Lord can reach down, no matter the lowest parts of your prison, of your dungeon, of your darkest, the precious hour that you are at, and he can pull you out and set you upon a rock and start to show you some things. That's what God can do. But you've got to trust him. You've got to believe on him that he can save you. It's up to you this morning. You might be here this morning, you might be lost. Isaiah said, today is the day of salvation. If the Lord is drawing you in, you can be saved this morning. If you're here and you're saved, and you feel like you still got the weight of the world on your shoulders and you're drowning, the Bible teaches us that the same people can still drown. Would you look to the Lord for whatever you need? Or maybe you need somebody to help pick you up today. The greatest faith you ever had is Jesus Christ. I'll say this is just closer than a prayer. This lonesome place this morning. Let's all say it. What do you need this morning? Is it, what's the devil fighting you this morning on? Do you need to be saved? They'd be a good day to be saved. Do you know somebody that's lost this morning? I'm telling you, today would be a great day to come and call their name out to God. I pray for them that they'll be saved before it be too late. Don't let the day go by. Here today, you're saved. You need somebody praying for you. You'd be thankful for the day that they called your name out to God to save you. Do you know somebody needs to be saved? Miss Lord, play whatever's on your heart. What you need this morning? Maybe you're here, you're saved. You're just going through something in your life. Maybe your health failed. Maybe your heartache's increasing. Maybe your bills are piling up. Maybe you're needing some answers that you just can't find this morning. Maybe you need the Lord to save you. You're dreading and you're on the set. Come and ask the Lord. I need a hand this morning. The Lord might be waiting for you to ask for some things so He can show you some things this morning. What's your need this morning? Would you just come pray? Tell the Lord whatever it is. Lord, my mom and my daddy's lost. Lord, my kids are lost. Lord, my neighbor's lost. Lord, come on. Or maybe you just need the Lord to get in the midst of your trouble. That's exactly what He can do. The Lord will come to where you're at this morning. If you'd ask Him to come in.